brothers and sisters in the world.
Good Sunday evening to anyone who is out there right now. I think I'm the only one who has the stream pulled up just to make sure it's running in YouTube. But yeah, wherever you're listening to this, however you're listening, whenever, hello. It's just me and Dave today. It's going to be a good one. Dave, haven't chatted in a while. I'm excited to see you again.
Yeah, man, it's been a while. You know, the last couple of episodes, I've had some personal stuff going on. You know, life gets busy. But you guys have held it down, but what matters the most is the fact that the team has been picking up its form, and I'm sure we'll talk about that. That's like what, four matches now in a row that we've won three out of four, and we drew the other one against Barcelona. So the form's definitely picking up, but I'm glad to be back, man.
Yeah. I mean, for once, it's not any of us ducking the pod because Inter are doing bad. It is just life things. I know Risto's out, Ian's out right now. We rotate pretty well, just like a team should. So, it'd be good to get into this. What was the last match you came on to talk about? We can just get your brief thoughts about the whole run.
I think the last episode I remember was probably after. Did we record after Sassuolo?
I think maybe. So it's been.
It's been about a week.
Yeah. Week and okay. A half or so. Okay. So there's been a bit that it's not as far back as I thought. Yeah, 2 weeks ago. So. Yeah, I think that was after the. That was before the first Barca game, I believe.
Sassuolo. No, Sassuolo was after the first Barca game. Yeah.
I'm getting my things mixed up, but yeah, just generally, the past few matches. I mean. It's been pretty chaotic. I think Fiorentina was no different. But how are you feeling about the team? Is this a turnaround or what is this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to go out on a limb and say that, yeah, it is a turnaround because I guess the sample size is big enough for us to actually make a determination. After the Roma match where we lost that, of course, I thought that was pretty much a rock bottom for us because we actually played well that game and we still managed to lose it the same way, meaning that we scored first and then, like you always say, it's like scripted. You know what's coming, but you couldn't stop it. So for me, that was like rock bottom because we played well that game and then we still managed to lose it. I'm like, yo, that season seems like a season from hell and let me just start tempering my expectations. But going from that loss to actually beating Barcelona at home and then going back to the Camp Nou, had a chance to beat them. We didn't beat them, but we still got the result that we needed, which was the draw. And then in between that and the league, we beat Salernitana, we beat Sassuolo, and then we just beat Fiorentina. Yeah, I'm definitely willing to say that the tide has changed because not only are the results showing it, but you see something different. The team, they defend better, although we're still not quite there yet. We're defending a little better. De Vrij's form is picking up. Skriniar, who was struggling in the beginning of the season, he's starting to look more and more like himself. So, yeah, the tie has definitely changed. And I can't talk about the change. We're talking about Barella, guys in form of his life, him and Lautaro. So, yeah, those two guys are definitely the catalyst of that change that we're talking about. So, yeah, the tie has definitely changed. What you think?
Yeah, I think it's mostly for me because the personnel has finally changed. The personnel changes that we wanted and some that we weren't expecting. Brozovic getting injured, of course. Lukaku still not playing. And somehow they figured out how to make this work. It didn't work very well in the beginning. There are a couple things you could blame for that. But
what personal changes are you talking about? You're talking about like Onana, who else?
Yeah, Onana in for Handanovic. The clear indication that like Francesco Acerbi has a place in this team and is going to be giving legitimate competition to both Stefan De Vrij and Bastoni.
Yeah,
to have two guys there. Calhanoglu somehow becoming a regista. Mkhitaryan not being a bad regista as well. It's been interesting. DeMarco has been decent. I don't think he was great against Fiorentina. I don't think this was the match for him, but we can get into that. It's pretty bad. But Yeah, everyone seems to be pulling their weight, and the right guys are starting, and the right guys are challenging for spots, and it's raising the level of the team as a whole to me.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, but I have to give you a little pushback on that last statement you said, meaning that those that are supposed to start are starting, because I feel like, well, maybe it's changed since the season started, but I feel like we all expected Gosens to eventually be that guy on the left, you know, and it seems like it's trended in the opposite direction. If anything, it seems like now DeMarco is the guy that Inzaghi feels the most comfortable with, which is something that I have an issue with. We all know what DeMarco is. That left foot is magical. Like, once he hits one well. His crosses, his shooting, set piece delivery. There's no denying that. But everything else to his game, it lacks, in my opinion. And we always get exposed from time to time, whether he's too tired to track back a winger against the Lazio in the Lazio match, allowing Felipe Anderson to just walks into the box and pretty much score wide open, or he's losing his man, or he's falling asleep. You know, it's always something about DeMarco. I'm not blaming him for the penalty, because that was one of those bang bang plays. But to me, I just need Gosens there. Gosens is a better athlete. He's a better defender. And I feel like, especially now that Inzaghi's changed the formation a little bit, the tactics a little bit, we're playing more defensive and we're countering more. I feel like that tells me we need Gosens. I'm not sure if I can point it out. It was okay. Yes, it was in the second half yesterday where we had a counter, and I think Barella had the ball. He ended up taking the shot, and it got saved by Torreciano. But when you're looking at that play on the other end, you see DeMarco trying to make that run, kind of similar to how Gosens made in the Barcelona match, that third goal that we scored, and Lautaro just kind of slid it across to him, and DeMarco just couldn't make it. You know, I just wanted Gosens there. That was actually right before we subbed on Gosens. If you're watching the game, you could see it. It's just my long-winded way of saying, man, okay, I'm tired of the DeMarco experience. I feel like he's peaked. He's played his best football he can play for Inter, in my opinion. He's in the best form of his life. He scored for the national team and all of that. But still, it's still not good enough. I feel like Gosens needs to run a game in the squad, and that's it, man.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. Because I mean, DeMarco, he's still like 23. I know it's a guy that we've heard the name thrown around since like 2016 or 2017 with De Boer. Like, I mean, we've heard this guy forever, but I mean, he's still young. Do you think this is really his ceiling at this age? Like, do you think he can get any better? Because that's something I've always been hopeful for. Well, I wasn't always hopeful for it. I thought when he first got back to Inter, I was like, all right, he's going to be gone again in like a year. I mean, he's got a pretty decent place in the squad. But
oh, no, don't get me wrong. He's proving me wrong in the sense that he definitely has a place in the squad. He can be an Inter player, but to me, he's not a starter. And regardless of his age, I feel like you can always continue to develop your game, your intelligence, your positioning and stuff like that. But there's only so much God-given physical ability that you have, you know, and I feel like he's just too small. He doesn't cover enough ground to be an effective wingback, in my opinion. If the pitch was probably half the size, maybe. But he's not the guy that you want bombing, that can bomb up and down a flank. If he makes one run, then he's going to be tired going back, or vice versa. You saw that on the, I think that was on the Ikone goal yesterday, where we were attacking, and I think Darmian made a bad pass, but DeMarco just could not track back and catch up to Ikone, or even make a threat, you know? So, yeah, I feel like we definitely need a more of an athlete, the Perisic type. I think Gosens is more in the Perisic mold as far as the kind of athlete those guys are. And Dumfries too, you know, that's what I see when I see what my wingback should look like, an athlete that could run tirelessly and cover a lot of ground.
Yeah, no, I see it when you say it. I mean, you can't teach height, you can't teach speed. But if this is, I mean, effective squad player, I'll take it. I do agree that yeah. I mean, he can't be your starter forever if you want to win things. But
no, for sure.
Yeah, hopefully Gosens does get his time. But, I mean, I'm getting into the point with him where I'm like, I'll believe it when I see it. That's kind of in the beginning why I went to everyone who's starting is who's, you know, going to start. It's just because I don't see what it's going to take. I mean, this guy scored against Barcelona. He looks great in the Champions. I don't know what it takes to get Gosens in.
I don't know. Yeah. And yeah, I don't. Yeah. That's one thing, because I didn't do the last episode. I wanted to bring that up. Inzaghi, he's a guy that I'm starting to get to the conclusion that it's just OK. I'm never going to be fully happy with what he does. And it's part of supporting a football team. You know, it's not like my manager is always going to be happy. You're always going to be happy with the moves the manager makes. I feel like this was a layup for Inzaghi to give the guy a start. You know, he scores against Barcelona, almost scored the second goal. Remember that cross Belanova put to him late, and then he had that header. He almost scored that save that was saved by Ter Stegen. So the guy performed. And then your next match after that is goddamn Salernitana. All right? Like, And you're telling me you can't start him? You can't start him, give him the same treatment you give DeMarco, give him 60, 65 minutes, and if it's not working, you bring somebody on? Like, to me, I didn't understand that at all, you know? And let's see what happens next week, because we're playing Sampdoria, who are bottom of the table next week. So if we can't see Belanova, for example, if we can see Gosens get a start, or if we could see Aslani get a start, you know, of course, obviously, that's after the Victoria Pilsen match in midweek. I don't want to just gloss over it. Like we're just going to take care of it with no problem. I'm sure you want to talk about it as well. But in the league, the next match in the league is Sampdoria. They're last. So if he can't give chances, I don't know anymore.
Yeah. I think we'll see some changes. I don't know what they'll mean against teams like Pilsen or Sampdoria, because neither of them are particularly great, and it seems like if you perform against the not-so-great teams, like, there's still a chance that you're going to go back to the bench, because Inzaghi is, I don't know, he's more cautious. I always thought he was going to be a more proactive manager. I mean, in his attacking play, I guess he can be proactive, like, in the way he sets up his team, you know, tactically, but, like, personnel-wise, he doesn't like to change personnel. He'd rather change the idea than the person, it seems like. And sometimes you don't have the patience for that. It's 38 games sounds like a lot of games, but I mean, you lose a couple more than we've lost right now, and you're out of. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and I'm glad you brought that out. You brought that up, because that's one of the reasons why the match yesterday was so key to me. It's like, any other circumstance, we all know going into Florence, it's a tough match, and it's really usually no shame in leaving that with a draw. But considering that we've already lost, we had almost four matches, you know, like, leaving yesterday with anything short of the 3 points would have felt like a defeat, you know. So the fact that Mkhitaryan, I got to credit him, because he made the run. He was there, you know. So if he wasn't there, if he was lazy and didn't make the run, then he wouldn't have scored. So, yeah, credit to him for scoring that worldly to pretty much.
I'm going to be honest. After the Jovic goal, I was like, I've seen this script so many times. I turned it off and I walked away. I was like, I need to preserve my peace, because I've seen this happen so many times. The chaoticness of the entire match reminded me of like Sassuolo in 2020, when we were like trying to hawk down Juventus at the end of that season, the COVID season.
It was very much
like that match, where it was just, if somebody was going to score it and you didn't know who, and you didn't know who it was going to be for, and hitting that 3-3, I was like, that's it. Like, Inter, yeah. I mean, they gave all their bullets there. There's no way. But then Mkhitaryan, anytime, I'm never going to criticize or like, just not really criticize, but wonder, when I see a midfielder or an attacking player, even anyone press a defender in the penalty box, because like, that's all he did. He just continued running.
He didn't play the ball.
He was just running. This guy was running. This is what Lautaro wants to do like 27 times a game when he runs at defenders. And it just, this is the one time it comes off for somebody. I love it, honestly. It's hilarious.
Yeah. No, I mean we were due some good luck. Don't get me wrong, Fiorentina fans, they would feel done by for several occasions that happened in the game, several episodes. You could talk about the DeMarco incident. You could talk about the penalty. There've been some questions about that as well. And finally, that supposed foul on Milinkovic from Dzeko on that last goal. So from the Fiorentina perspective, they could definitely feel hard done by. But for us, I feel like damn, it's been a minute, and we were due a lucky bounce. Because me, I don't know how many times I'm watching Milan matches, hoping they drop points, and then you see something like, either the opposing goalkeeper passes the ball to Leao or something wacky like that happened, and then they win. I mean, we were due something like that. Poor guy, he was just trying to clear it. He didn't even look to see where Mkhitaryan was. I mean, that would have been game over. He thought that if he kicks that ball out, there's probably 20 seconds left, and then they're home free. So that's what he did. It worked in our favor.
Yeah, I mean, first penalty of the season too. I mean, it's pretty late to be getting a first penalty. I mean, there aren't many times that stick out in my head of like I wanted one, which is also I
Yeah.
guess interesting, but I didn't even think it was a penalty at first. Honestly, first I thought he was offside. This is just kind of bouncing around the match. Now we're on Lautaro's pin, but you know, I thought the Terracciano touch after they decided it was onside, I thought Serie A refs, you never really know what they're gonna say, and so just going with the way I felt the match had been officiated, I was like, he's gonna let this go. Like I didn't think that he was gonna give the penalty. I don't know how you felt about the call.
No, to be honest, that call brought it just created a whole new wave of confusion for me because I thought I had I knew the rules. I thought I it was if the goalkeeper touches the ball and even if he plays the man afterwards, it's not a penalty. But from my understanding, because I've seen a lot of Twitter debate about it, the fact that he barely grazed the ball and the fact that Lautaro could have played the ball had it not been for him taking him out. That's what made it a penalty. But watching it live, I thought it was a penalty because I didn't, of course, live watching it in real time, you don't see if Terracciano touches the ball. It seems like the typical Lautaro hurries up and gets his foot there, gets the ball away, and then draws a penalty type of shit. That's what it looked like to me. But when then you remember the ref's reaction was to pretty much call the offside, right? Initial reaction, and then the VAR gave the penalty. So I don't know. I feel like if they gave it to us, then it's because there's no way they couldn't have given it to us. You know what I mean? Because I feel like Inter don't get any favors. They're not looking in the VAR in ways to help us. If the referee called it non-penalty or offside on the pitch, I feel like they would have done everything possible to just stick to that decision had it been the correct decision. You know, so I'm fully okay with the outcome of the match.
Yeah, and I
That's
mean,
crazy because it's like what in the span of 2 weeks, that's two super controversial victories that we've had because Barcelona fans are still talking about that match and we played them once again since that match, but they're still stuck on that first leg, so
it's been a lot of a lot of things have broken the right way for Inter, and not that it's undeserving. Like you got to put yourself in those positions a lot of the time. I
Sure.
mean, there are times where it falls in your lap, but I feel like this was a team that put themselves in those positions to actually succeed for once. And it's all worked out. The team, you know, they look the most cohesive I've seen since Conte. Like I feel like everyone has bought in and is feeding off the, you know, the Pazza Inter energy that sucks us all in as fans and doesn't let us go no matter how much, you know, the heart rate fluctuates and all that, trying to put you in the hospital. But I mean, it's been great. I mean, we saw Lukaku doing the same thing. I mean, he's getting paid like 10 million to record himself. I mean, I do that for free. Look at us doing the same thing for free. Like, we need Roc Nation. We need to get signed to Roc Nation, but
For sure.
it's
Yeah,
crazy.
speaking of Lukaku, yeah, I know you've seen it. Oh boy, it was in the news yesterday. for smoking e-cigarettes.
Yeah, the son got the wrong guy. That was
it's just ridiculous at this point. Like they're so lazy, they're so unprofessional. And at this point, I also even wonder if it's not intentional. You know, like, hey, this looks like Lukaku. Let's post him. And then if he gets mad, we'll just apologize. Because this guy has become somewhat of a meme in England, you know. So, he's definitely a quick clickbait topic. But he wasn't really happy. We saw the tweet and everything. At this point, I'm just ready to see him on the pitch to any sort of capacity. It's not like we're going to need him to beat Victoria on Wednesday, but I definitely want to see him come in probably at 75th minute after we've already had everything locked in and get a 15-minute run out and then probably start against Sampdoria. Because after Sampdoria, I think we got Juve. We got a very tough – our schedule gets very tough after Sampdoria. So we need him to start getting ready because yesterday – I felt like I was about to explode after that third goal because it was like, you know what, we've dicked around so much. We were being super cautious with Lukaku, and then now it's finally cost us point. That's how I felt, because in my heart of hearts, we could have brought him back probably a week early. But the reports have been saying that he's been fit. We're being super cautious, and that almost bit us in our ass, because at the end of the day, with Lautaro being gassed after the shift that he put in, who did we have to throw in? We have to throw in Bellanova, you know, because we just straight up didn't have any numbers as forwards. Correa, that's a guy. He's become a thorn in our sides. He's going to become a guy like, who can I think about? I don't want to talk about him like Gagliardini or whatever, but it seems like he's going to be a guy that's going to be in a squad we're stuck with, and he's going to cause us misery, because I'm tired of him, man. Like, those performances he really doesn't offer anything, Mikey. Like, the flash in the pan that he gives us every once in a while, he comes in, he scores two goals, and he looks like a world beater. Like, it's up to me, man. I'm not fooled by it anymore, and whatever way we can get rid of him, if possible, I say we take it.
Yeah, I mean, we have been playing with two strikers recently, it feels like. I know Dzeko was lucky to get a day off this past match, but he's definitely going to be back against Plzeň.
Victoria, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the club, or one of like the two clubs in all of Europe that he has scored the most against, like over his entire career. For some reason, he's stat padded against them with Roma in Europe. He had a season actually in the same league, and I think scored a couple times. So
really,
yeah, he haunts those guys. So he'll be back. And I expect to see Lautaro again, who is probably arguably in the best stretch of his career at Inter.
Yeah, no, for sure. I agree, and I'm glad you brought that up. The words that he said after the match, you know, those are typical words that fans love to hear. I want to be an Inter legend. I've been here for 5 years. All I think about is Inter, all of that stuff. But furthermore, he said that he feels like this is his team. You know, his teammates listen to him. They follow him when he tells them let's go or whatever. And I feel like we're kind of seeing him grow into an leadership role. So yeah, spot on. When you're talking about leadership put together with how he's actually playing on the pitch, I think that's probably his best period in Inter. So that's a very good shot, Mike. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, it's been great to watch. I know he was starting to verge on, you know, those goal droughts he gets on. He was really close to like that being a talking point again. But I mean, he's turned it around in like the best way possible. And you talked about the interview that he gave after the match, and the thing that stood out to me the most, the thing I really liked, was he said who his role model is in football, like who he wants to play like, and it was
Falcao.
Radamel Falcao. I loved watching that guy play. I remarked on Twitter, I was like, he's streaky like him too, but I mean,
no, for sure.
At their peaks, or at his peak, Falcao's peak, not Lautaro's yet, hopefully. I mean, it was so fun to watch. So
yeah, he had that spell at Atletico that like he was just unplayable. Yeah, I remember. But the thing is, his peak seemed like it was short lived as well, right? It was probably a year maybe that he had at that form. After that, then he had issues with injuries, and then he ended up bouncing around. But yeah, he had that 1 year that he was even in the Ballon d'Or conversation, I believe, that 1 year.
Yeah, even his like little stint at Monaco, where you know, they had that big Champions League run. I mean, he looked pretty good at times then too. That was a little bit later, but you know, if Lautaro keeps up the same type of aggression that he has, and he's learned how to not get cards with it. We've just seen him develop in like every aspect of his game. I want to see the finishing aspect, come on some more, but I mean, that's something we talk about all the time. But if he can do that, we're talking about a great player.
Also, I feel like one thing we need to really highlight about Lautaro is his shooting ability. It seems like to me, well, now watching matches now, it's like I'm waiting for him to shoot. And it seems like he's figured out how to just find that bottom corner. Like when you look at the goal he scored against Salernitana, it wasn't a powerful shot or anything like that. It's just like the way he places it, that it's bouncing right before the goalie. The goalie actually gets to make the save, and that's what he did. And that goal yesterday against Fiorentina, that was left footed, same thing, bottom corner. I feel like that's what's making him special. He's becoming that guy that. Left, right, whenever he hits it, he catches it well, and it goes to the corner. He is developing into a world-class player in front of our eyes, Mikey. That's definitely what was becoming. I know me for sure, I always want something tangible, like, okay, is he fast? Is he big? What makes him special? Was this? Was that? But the fact that he's developing so many aspects of his game all around, that's what's going to culminate to making them a world-class player, in my opinion. And the words that they're saying, well, him and his agent are good right now. Hopefully we can hold on to him, you know?
Yeah. Hey, I mean,
we know when the summer comes, we know teams are going to be lining up, especially after the World Cup, which we all expect them to perform.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of guys with Argentina are starting around in the form. I mean, we've also seen some guys go off with injuries for that Argentinian team. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Not sure how much. I mean, I'm not the biggest follower of the Argentinian national team. I mean, I just keep up for Lautaro at this point. But yeah, I've seen a lot of stuff going on. I know.
Di Maria, I mean, me personally,
injured. There's a lot going on for them, and we're what, 3 weeks out now? Like it's closer than it feels. It's very weird. Like it's cold outside, and we're talking about a World Cup.
What is the date that is starting? November what?
World Cup. Brought to you. Oh my God! What happened? I am not on Google. My thing has switched to Yahoo, and I can't pull anything. I have no clue actually because of this.
Yeah, come on, bro. I'll look for the break.
Yahoo, let me look for the break.
Yahoo knows when the World Cup starts too, bro.
November 13th is the last match in Serie A for Inter. Okay. So like the 16th.
It starts on the 20th.
Okay. So the 20th it's close.
Yeah. But, so it's less than a month away. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's definitely getting ramped up for that as well. And I just hope he doesn't come back spent. But that's a whole other thing.
I do find that curious because it seems like it's two different ways that it's going with those Argentinian players. You do see the Lautaro that's like, that guy is really running himself into the ground for us. To think that stretch where Lukaku was injured, where he had that Barcelona match that he wasn't even supposed to play in, remember? And he ended up playing like the whole 90 minutes and then the following 90 minutes and the following 90 minutes. The guy is really putting himself at risk, in my opinion, of picking up just a little muscle injury just from not resting. And then you look on the other side, you see Dybala. He had a match where he could have played for Roma, and he pretty much he checked himself out because he felt discomfort. Same thing for Di Maria. Paredes now is sitting. Who else? Nico Gonzalez in the match yesterday. I don't know if it's a coincidence that those guys were picking up all those little muscle twinges, or if it's just, yo, I'm prioritizing that World Cup because it's my chance to actually win it with Lionel Messi. You know, that's what I feel. I feel like some guys are making a conscious effort to just prioritize their NT over their clubs. And that makes me respect Lautaro even more because we cannot question the guy's commitment to the team this season. You know, so kudos to him.
Yeah. It's really interesting because, I mean, Messi's in some great form, but you mentioned all these guys that are – well, I mean, Dybala's actually injured. He's going to miss the World Cup.
I think Dybala's actually out, yeah.
Yeah, but there were a couple of matches before where he did check himself out. But even against Inter, he did that. Maybe it would have been better for him not to come back. But
exactly. I mean, yeah, you're right, because I remember against Inter, he did play those 60 minutes, and then they subbed him off. And then that last match he scored scored a penalty and then he got injured taking the penalty.
Yeah.
But with Dybala, we know. We know that history is similar to little muscle injuries. But it seems like the other guys, they either trying to avoid what happened to Dybala or not, you know. Because Di Maria, since he arrived at Juve, you've been hearing all types of stuff like, oh, he's not ready, he's ready, he's injured, it seems something's fishy there. It seems like those guys are just really gearing up for the World Cup, and then after that, they don't care.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because we'll have to see if it paid off if some of these guys are actually injured. We'll have to see. But I want to get in to the guy that's behind your shoulder right now, Nicolò Barella. A great game, another great game against Fiorentina. That was a bizarre goal that he scored, but I mean, he's also a guy that's on a run of good form after I think a lot of us have ridden him for a while.
Yeah. Oh no, I feel like he's finally living up to the billing. You know, after Lukaku left, we were left with Barella, Lautaro, and Bastoni as to me or three or three best players or players that have to develop, that have to play at a world-class level for us to go anywhere as far as our goals go. You know, last season, it was inconsistent for all three of them, if we want to be honest. Lautaro had his struggles, Barella had his struggles, and Bastoni. This season, it seems like two of them, at least, Barella and Lautaro, early on, they've taken that onus and they've taken that responsibility that they want to perform day in and day out. For Barella to already have four goals and four assists at this point after 11 matches, that's super impressive to me. And I'm seeing an aspect of his game that we wanted to happen, where like that goal yesterday that he scored, I don't think he scores that last year or the year before because he got the ball, it was a little stuck under his feet a little bit, and then he had the wherewithal, the presence of a mind enough to just put that outside of the boot in and just place it. Barella's usually that all-action guy, goes too fast or too active, and he lacks the lucidity at times. That's what I've been seeing from him this season. And I'm super proud of it, man. I'm happy that he's becoming that midfielder that we all want him to be. And we talked about Lautaro as well. So I think that's the same thing. They're both taking that jump into the next level. I'm waiting for Bastoni to do the same. He has been more or less disappointing for me for Bastoni this season. But yeah, good shout. Barella is definitely playing probably his best football for it. Well, I don't know if I want to say the best football for Inter because he was very good under Conte, but I think he probably is playing his best football for Inter, you know, because he's playing with freedom. He's making decisions as opposed to just thriving within the system. What do you think?
Didn't he score an outside of the boot goal in like that weird Europa League playoff? It was like against Leverkusen, I think. I think he scored with the outside of his boot then, and it was kind of a low shot, which is interesting. So that's like the second time I remember him doing this.
I'm remembering it now, yeah.
Yeah, this one was a bit tougher, though. I mean, like close range, I think Barella in the past would have either taken too heavy of a touch or would have just like lasered it right into the goalkeeper's face. Yeah, mm-hmm. Would have taken the guy's head off. But yeah, what can we say about this guy? That the goals are coming, the assists are coming. He looks like he's finally like not just mad at everything. He's kind of like, whatever it took. I don't know if he's seeing a therapist, if he's just channeling his energy a little differently, or
I mean, you today you got all the good Barella takes. That's a little good observation. I'm glad you mentioned it. I like usually he's like Brozo 2.0 with the body language, like with you know, all of that. He's always upset, but it seems like it's calmed down a lot. I even saw him tell the referee he was right yesterday. I'm like, that's
not Barella. Done that in his life.
Never in his life. It's like, you know, he agreed with the referee. Yeah, I guess his maturity. And there were reports that he took the whole thing about him getting that red card last year and not being able to play and in the round Liverpool, of 16 right? against Liverpool. Yeah, he took that very hard, they say. So maybe he worked on that craziness, you know. So yeah, good shout.
Yeah, every good footballer has it, but the great ones know how to control it.
Control it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to move on, I think we gotta get a little bit of this Champions League talk in, because, I mean, right on the cusp this early, this isn't usual. It's usually coming down to the last match day.
Last match, right?
Yeah, and all you gotta do is not lose. That could be a curse, though. I'm confident, though. I'm not worried about this match. Mm-hmm. They're saying Bayern have nothing to play for, but equally Plzeňa have nothing to play for because they still have 0 points. Their goal difference is like negative a billion. So, I mean, they got 2 goals against Bayern away, which is kind of interesting, but that game was already dead. But
yeah,
I'm still not worried. No. I think whatever team goes out there is going to get the job done. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Of course, you never want to be disrespectful to your opponent or whatever, like you're going to walk all over them. But I feel like objectively, this is a team that we should beat quite handily. We beat them at home, at their home, easily 2-0 when we were in the worst form of our season. We started the season so badly in the league. We were shit in the bed. And we barely got out of third or fourth gear to beat them. It was just pretty much a cruise control type of victory, in my opinion. Our form is definitely better going into this match, and we're playing at home. It's gonna be sold out. It's gonna be a match that if we win, we can automatically qualify for the round of 16. So with all those factors, I feel like the team's gonna be super motivated, super pumped up, and I expect it to be wrapped up before halftime, Mikey. I know supporting Pazza Inter, you should never say stuff like that. You should never expect. But, yeah, I expect this to be wrapped up by halftime. We're deciding we want to sub in, because objectively they're just a bad team. You know, I've seen the matches. And that match against Bayern, it was 4-0 by halftime. And then they ended up scoring 2 in the second half. So, yeah, that was wrapped up by halftime as well. I say that to say this. We're gonna handle the business, and I think Bayern are gonna handle business as well, because they don't like Barcelona. They're not gonna give him an easy match by any stretch of the imagination. And mind you, finally, Bayern or not, they haven't fully won the group yet. So if they want to fuck around and let Barcelona beat them, and then we beat Victoria, that last match, we can pretty much finish first if we somehow beat them. So keeping that in mind, they know they haven't fully locked in that first spot yet. So hopefully they just want to beat Barcelona and then secure that, and then rest their players for that last match. And hopefully we can do the same.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the way that this table is set up, it can go that way. Inter can win. I don't think Inter's winning the group. I don't really even care. I don't want that right now. I just want to get to the next round and see what happens. But it would be great. I'm still not going to worry too much.
I'm not going to say I don't care.
We're an early starting team. Like, this team comes out of the gates really strong. So, like, kind of what you were saying, get it done by halftime. I think you can put 3 or 4 up in the first half if you could. Do I expect that? No. But I expect at least, you know, 1 or 2, and then
yeah,
starting to see the finish line.
Yeah. No, I'm I don't know. I hope I don't end up looking like an idiot, but just from what I've seen, bro, I'm not worried about that team at all. You know, I feel like, you know, but we know, like, this was a Cinderella story that they made it there, and you know, it was probably the first time in their history and all that stuff, kind of like Sheriff last year. So yeah, I feel like at the end of the day, like, the class, we're a class above, and it's, they're not gonna be able to do anything with that. You know, they haven't gotten close to any of the teams this group. You know, Bayern beat them handily both matches. Barcelona, I think, beat them 5-1 or something like that.
Yeah, for me, I forgot where I was going with that. Jesus Christ. But yeah, let me see if I can figure out what. Because I had a good point. I had like a galaxy brain point about to come up. One interesting thing I saw this past week with Plzeň involved was they got eliminated in the Czech Cup, whatever they call their domestic cup, eliminated by a fourth tier Czech side. So that could be motivation. I wouldn't be surprised. That would be a very interesting story. imagine the troll football.
I thought you were gonna go the other direction with that. Like, instead of saying that could be motivation, I thought you were gonna say that could be that's indication of their level. Yeah. You know, like, that's how I take it as, like, yo, if you're losing to a fourth tier squad, regardless of if you did rotations or not, like, you got no business giving us issues in a must-win match. It's not, don't get me wrong, like, if it's a match that, you know, you just go into it, like, you know you're going to beat them or whatever, you let them catch you by surprise, then that can happen. But this is something that I'm sure Inzaghi's building up in the player's head as a final, whatever. It's a must-win match. We don't want to have to go beat Bayern in Germany. So we're not gonna. They're not gonna catch us slipping. We'd be fully prepared and fully motivated to take care of it.
Yeah, I just imagine the troll football tweet where it's like, 2 weeks ago, Victoria Plzeň lost to fourth tier, whatever that team is. this week, they beat Inter at San Siro 3-0 or some bullshit. But nah, it's not going to happen. We're not going to speak that into existence. I'll knock on some wood. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, do we want to go all the way out to Sampdoria, who's the worst team in the league at the moment? I think that should be enough. That should be a pretty easily handled match. And if you need to go to Bayern, that's the best thing to have before.
For sure, 100%.
Well, I guess that's it then. I know you've got your Giants going in the NFL in about 10 minutes. I said I'd have you out 10 minutes before. So we'll go enjoy an NFL Sunday.
Sir.
Yeah, everyone out there, thanks for the comments. We had a couple, Future Hendrix, Mattia, ASAP. Appreciate you out here. Little early for us. We probably surprised some people coming up on their notifications. But, you know, if you want to stay in the loop, make sure you hit the little bell button, whatever that is. I'm going to do Ian's spiel. Follow us everywhere. You can rate podcasts on Spotify now. So give us a 5-star on Spotify if you're using Spotify. That's a new thing. Thanks as always. Thanks, Dave. And we'll see everyone in the next one.
Peace, guys.
Lay us out.